Let's turn to verse 14 of this psalm. Verse 14 through verse 18. For he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are like grass. He flourishes like a flower of the field, for the wind passes over it and it is gone, and its place knows it no more. But the steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children, to those who keep his covenant and remember to do his commandments. After the proclamation of the gospel, we will respond singing stanzas 6 and 7 of this psalm. Brothers, sisters, the Lord Jesus Christ, our lives, your life and my life, would best be compared to a sea or an ocean rather than a small lake. Our lives are more like a big body of water, an ocean or a sea, than a smaller mountain lake, for example. Why? It's because smaller lakes can sometimes be very, very calm. And maybe at this time of the year, if you're out in a campground with a lake that's not too big, you get up early in the morning before the winds pick up. Maybe you go for a walk, maybe you go out fishing. And there are those days where the water's like glass, it's just like a mirror, perfectly smooth. Life is not like that. Life is much more like sea or an ocean or maybe one of the Great Lakes. It's always moving. There's always waves. The tide goes in, the tide goes out. And that's the way life is. It's always moving. It's always changing. And some of those changes are small, they're fairly routine. For example, right now it's beautiful, it's light, it's sunny. A few hours from now, the sun will set and it'll be dark. But then tomorrow, under the Lord's providence, sunrise and becomes light again. And so, like the waves, in and out, tide in and out, sun goes up, it goes down, goes up, goes down. Or hunger and eating. We become hungry, so we eat something. And then a few hours later, we become hungry again and we eat some more. And so we go from hungry to full to hungry to full. We go from being energetic to tired. If we get a good sleep, we have energy again, but then we become tired again. Those are like the regular little waves and tides of the ocean. But then sometimes things pick up and the waves become much bigger. And sometimes those big waves that have a big impact on our lives, they can be joyful ones. Birth of a child, your birthday, getting married, being blessed with a child, receiving a good new job, buying a house. All of these things are not just regular routine. They're big and they affect a lot in our lives, but they're joyful. And there are also big waves that are much more difficult. It's sad. You lose a job. Or you're frustrated because you can't afford a house. Or you become sick. Or relationships in your life become very difficult. And those too have a big impact. It's like the water washing up on the shore and maybe even splashing over the shore of your life. But it's always changing, and it's always moving forward. And that's something of what this psalm is emphasizing. There is a movement, there is a change. Our lives are going ahead, and they're going ahead faster than we often realize. Our days are like grass. And yet, see that, verse 17? But, it's a very important little word. And in that change, in that transition, there is the gospel that we all need to live out of. But the steadfast love of the Lord, that, brothers and sisters, is the anchor in our ever-changing brief lives. Normally, an anchor you throw down into the water, and it grabs on something below. But this anchor we throw, as it were, up into the heavens, up to the Lord. And there the anchor grabs into the steadfast, never-changing love of the Lord. This is the word of the gospel that may be proclaimed this afternoon from Psalm 103. The Lord's forever steadfast love in our frail lives. We're going to look, first of all, at how brief and fragile and short life is, then look at the specialness of God who is love, and finally, our response to love Him is to also obey Him. We're beginning in verse 14, brothers and sisters, because it's good to know where we came from. The Lord knows, and the Lord remembers exactly how He made our first father, the very first human being, Adam. The Lord knows, and He remembers. And now we have the revelation of it too in Genesis 2, verse 7, that what the Lord did was not just give a command, and Adam was there, let there be Adam, and so there was Adam. No. With Adam, the Lord did something different, special. He took dirt, actually, He took the finest of the fine dirt, the dust, Scripture says. The Lord God, we read in Genesis 2, verse 7, formed the man of the dust of the ground, and then breathed into his nostrils, and he became a living being. It's far past the planting season right now. But if you can think back a few months, and when the farmers are in the fields planting, pulling the plow and the harrows and the cedar, then if it's a bit of a drier spring especially, it's been a little bit of a wetter year this year, but if it's a drier spring, sometimes you see these clouds of dust behind the tractor in the fields. Come back an hour later, not even. Where'd all that dust go? It's gone on the wind and settled down again. You see, there's nothing very steadfast about dust. Dust is so fine, it's so light, that the littlest little breeze, a puff, and it's gone, dispersed. And the Lord knew exactly what He was doing when He formed and fashioned our first father, Adam, not even just out of the ground, but out of the dust of the ground. He wanted to, from the very start, teach Adam, and soon enough, Eve, and in due time, their children, and in due time, us as well. That we not only started from very humble beginnings, after all, what's dust? It's not worth anything. But also started from very fragile beginnings. Again, dust is not very steadfast stuff. The Lord remembers this. That is to say, the Lord not only knows what he did on the sixth day of creation, but the Lord acts accordingly. The Lord knows that because we're dust creatures, we need a lot of help. We need a lot of support. The Lord remembers that we are dust, and he's going to use his power, as we sang Psalm 146, as the great helper, to hold us up, to keep us together, to strengthen us, and go forward. The Lord remembers. He knows how much help we need. The bigger question, brothers and sisters, is, do we remember our frame? Do we remember that we are dust? Because the Lord also created us as human beings, men and women and boys and girls, with good brains, smarts. And we can think things through, and we can design solutions, and we can come up with projects. And if you look back over the history of the human race, then as people, as human beings, we could so easily get puffed up in pride and say, just look at what we've all accomplished. Medicines, surgical techniques, disease after disease after disease. We've done this, we've done that. How often when someone goes to the hospital with a serious disease and they get a surgery or some type of treatment, we say, it's amazing what they have all come up with to help people with sicknesses. That is remarkable. Or what about big financial systems, global financial systems? Millions, billions, trillions of dollars going back and forth. Fuels industry, creates jobs. And we could get it in our heads, brothers and sisters, easily enough that if we just think hard enough, and if we just stick at the problem long enough, and if we just work together enough, then whatever medical problem, whatever financial thing, whatever relational problem, we can solve it. Right? Do we remember? And I want to say it very plainly here. Do we remember that our first dad, Adam, started out of dust? We're not so big and strong and capable. We are rather frail. Dust ain't much. And it's only because of the help, it's only because of the power of the Lord, our Maker, that we are able to do what we do each day again. And there are some days, brothers and sisters, where we actually do remember it, and then we don't only remember it, but we feel it. Our weakness, our fragileness. We just say, yeah, that dust quality of us, I really know it now. I don't feel so strong, and I don't feel so smart at all. And then we could go one of two directions. We could get afraid, so fragile, or we can go forward in faith, in the Lord who knows not only how he created us, but knows that we have also fallen into sin, which only complicates matters immensely. And what did the Lord do when he remembered that? He sent his Son, the Almighty Son of God, to become a baby, a man who had a body that was made originally from dust. You would think, brothers and sisters, that the Almighty Son of God would say, I'm not going anywhere near a dust body. But he didn't reject it. He didn't push it off. He saw us. He saw our need for help in every way. And he said, rather, I embrace it. I take upon myself true human nature, including dust body, for you, for me, and our salvation. That's the God that we put our trust and faith in. Also, as our dust bodies go from day to day to day, and life just seems to keep on speeding on, his days are like grass. The grass is actually quite green right now, brothers and sisters. It's rather abnormal for July. It's been a lot of rain. But you know, if we have 2 weeks of hot, dry weather with some wind, you know what you're going to see outside of these windows in a couple Sundays? Yellow. Grass that's drying up. You see, that's the way grass is. The roots are very short. It doesn't go deep, deep down, like an oak tree or something like that. And as for man, which means male and female, men and women, boys and girls, doesn't matter, we need to understand what the Lord is revealing here. Our days, our life, it's not like an oak tree with deep, deep roots that even when it gets all dry and drought-like, it keeps on going. No, we're like grass. It doesn't take much. There we are, sick. Life can even end. We flourish like a flower of the fields. The orange daylilies in the ditch. Suddenly all the ditches are orange. Drive by 2 weeks later. Where did those flowers go? The wind came, the heat came. Flowers are finished. They're in the ditch decomposing. And the Lord says, my children, when you see those daylilies in the ditch, or the nice ones in your flower bed, doesn't matter. And when you appreciate the beauty only to see it fade and fall within what? 10 days? 2 weeks? Learn the lesson of the flowers of the fields. We're not so strong, we're not so robust that come whatever storm, come whatever time, no. Life is short. It's really fleeting. It goes by more quickly than we think. And again, we could react and say, oh no, life is so short. I have to take this time, quick as it is going by, and try to squeeze all of the joys of life out of it. And then when you feel you're starting to get older or frail, start to get more and more panicky because life is passing by. Don't have to live like that, brothers and sisters. No. No. Think about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. 33 years old or so when he died on the cross. Normally speaking, we would say a life of 33 years, he died young. But in those 33 years, he lived a full life. He lived the life of obedience and devotion to the Lord for us and in our place, it says in the Belgic Confession. In just 33 short years, he lived such a life that he opened up for us the gates to life everlasting. Some people live a lot longer than 33 years old. Some people live less. Some even a lot less. But by the grace of God, those who fear the Lord, those who are wrapped up in his love, whether shorter or longer here, live forever with the Lord. That's the comfort. That's the gospel that's coming from this psalm. Because as it puts before us the brevity and the frailty of life so clearly, it's the steadfast love of the Lord that stands central. And this love is unique, brothers and sisters. It's from everlasting to everlasting. You know, by the grace of God, we live forever. We've received the gift of eternal life. But that's only everlasting going forward. We don't have an everlasting going backwards. We all have a starting point. We all have a conception and birth date. But with the Lord, it's different. See verse 17? The Lord is from everlasting. He has that backwards eternity. He's always been, and he always will be. And so this steadfast love of the Lord from everlasting to everlasting is unique. It's not like anything that we have. It's wholly divine. And what does that mean, practically speaking, for us? Look at how this psalm unpacks it. In the first place, brothers and sisters, the steadfast love of the Lord is a love that he expresses in covenant. His righteousness to children's children, to those who keep his covenant. This is how the Lord expresses his steadfast eternal love, not just by giving it to a person, but giving it to a person and children and children's children. You see, that's the strength of the commitment of the love of the Lord. It's not like the grass that flourishes for a day or two, not even for a generation. It goes through generations. It's covenant, steadfast love. There's the anchor in all of the changes of this life. But it's not only covenant love. And this is very special about the Lord's love. It's such a steadfastly clinging love. Verse 8, the Lord is merciful and gracious. He's slow to anger, abounding in that steadfast love, which means that he does not deal with us according to our sins. And as high as the heavens from the earth and the east is from the west, so far does he remove, so far does he cleanse us from our sins. You know, when people commit sin after sin after sin after sin, it's hard to keep on steadfastly loving them. We lose our patience with them. We get angry at them. And the Lord does get righteously angry as well. Says that verse 9, but not forever. The Lord's love, his special divine love, is so steadfast and it's so abounding that even though every day of our brief, fragile little lives we mess it up and we get another day and we mess it up again, we receive another day and we mess it up again. And you would think that the Lord would say, okay, now that's enough. But he keeps on steadfastly loving and steadfastly loving some more. That's an anchor. Hold on to that. also in the ocean and the ups and downs of your life. And not only is it covenantal love, not only is it cleaning love, it's the first time that steadfast love is mentioned in this psalm. It's verse 4. It's crowning love. Covenant, cleaning, crowning. Maybe you would prefer to wear a baseball cap. Keep the dust out of your hair, or maybe it's a bad hair day. Put on a baseball cap. You know, the Lord gives you a lot more than a baseball cap, brothers and sisters. He gives you a crown. Crown. And this crown is not made out of gold. It's not made out of rubies and diamonds and emeralds and all kinds of gems. Bless the Lord, O my soul, who crowns you. You, my brother, crowns you, my sister, with steadfast love and mercy. You won't see this in the mirror, but please see it with the eye of faith. Maybe you look in the mirror and you're wearing that baseball cap. But let me tell you from the Word of God, He's put something else on your head. It's this beautiful, priceless, absolutely invaluable crown. You know, used to be our queen, now our king. Under lock and key and probably all kinds of laser protection and who knows what, there's a crown. Our royal head, our king, has a crown. Who knows how many millions of dollars that crown is worth? Gold and all kinds of rubies. It's got nothing. It's got nothing on this crown. Can't even compare it. What is this that the Lord places upon a fragile dust creature who has such a brief, fleeting life, and in that brief, fleeting life has committed so many different sins, and the Lord would reach down and say, upon your head, my brother, upon your head, my sister, boys and girls, also you, I put a crown of my steadfast love and mercy. How? Because there was a very different crown on the head of your Savior, Jesus Christ. It's not a crown of steadfast love and mercy. It was not a crown of gold and rubies. It's a crown of thorns. It's a crown of mocking. It's a crown of jeering. It's a crown of suffering and disgrace. But the Lord Jesus Christ did not push that crown away because He had His eye on you. And He let that crown be pushed down on His head so that He could place on your head the crown of the Lord's steadfast love and mercy. A crown that no one's yanking away from you. This is the anchor. Oh, life is like an ocean. Sometimes little waves, sometimes big waves. But with the covenantal, cleansing, crowning love of the Lord, we have an anchor. And how will we respond? The psalm says, do what the Lord tells you to do. Remember His commandments. He remembers that we're dust. He gives us everything that we need. Now the response. And please don't misunderstand. You could read verse 18 all by itself and say, oh, is this what living with the Lord is? Do, 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 do. Follow the rule, follow the rule, follow the rule. And if you follow the rules well enough, you pass and you get the Lord's favor. No, no. It's not rule, 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 do, do, do. Heavy, heavy, heavy burden. It's not what this is. Listen to Psalm 103 in its entirety, including verse 18. When the Lord, in his steadfast, undeserved love in Jesus Christ, who took the crown of the thorns, puts the crown of steadfast love and mercy upon your and my most undeserving heads, then we don't say, do, 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 rule, 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 burden, burden, burden. We say, delight. Lord, after all that you've blessed us with, if you say, have no other gods before me, I don't want any other gods before me, I want you, O Lord. And when you say, remember the Sabbath day, I say, Lord, you remember that I'm dust. You gave me so much help. You gave me the crown. Show me the worship service. I'm there. And if you, O Lord, say, don't be envious, don't be jealous, don't covet what I've given to someone else. And I find that actually pretty tough some days. It's not to covet is pretty tough. But when I see all the benefits and I remember them, bless the Lord, O my soul, and I forget not all of his benefits, then we can also say, Lord, I don't need to covet either. You've given me so much. All I have to do is look in the mirror and see the crown instead of the baseball cap. It's not do, 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 rule, rule, rule. It's, oh Lord, thank you. Show me the command. Give me the strength to do it. It will be my pleasure to do so. Amen.